Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Nita Lowey, Democrat of New York's 17th District, in office since 1988. Let me ask you, in the last conversation we had, you talked about the growth of anti-Semitism in the world. You talked about your work with the Anti-Defamation League and the question of why is anti-Semitism on the rise?
Well, there are some that say that it's always latent, but the conflict between Israel and Hamas sparked new waves of anti-Semitic violence and rhetoric around the world, even here in the Lower Hudson Valley. And there was widespread fear. There was an incident in Manhattan, and in many Jewish communities, there is concern that these incidents will continue in both frequency and force. And before I left Washington, in fact, I introduced a bipartisan resolution that calls on the U.S. government to increase its work with other countries to defend Jewish communities from anti-Semitic attacks and to better monitor and report on any incidents. So I have been a leader in this area, and I mentioned the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Committee. There's a unit at the State Department headed by Ira Foreman, with whom I've been working closely. This is serious, and whether Jews or non-Jews, we cannot justify any violent attacks as a form of disapproval or frustration over political events in the Middle East. So we have to take a zero-tolerance policy towards hatred and bigotry. And as a member of the United States Congress, not only as a Jewish member who grew up in the Bronx in a very strong Jewish community, but we have to take action and use our power, use our influence to speak out. As I understand it, the increase in anti-Semitism in France, in Great Britain, in Italy, in Greece, is increasing tremendously.
And Germany. I mean, for a while.
All throughout Europe. And some will say it's latent. Some will attribute it to the huge increase in Muslim populations that have migrated here. Whatever the cause, and I'm so pleased that Prime Minister Cameron, has spoken out so forcefully. This is an effort that has to be, frankly, joined with our allies all over the world, especially throughout Europe, because when it's a threat to the Jews, it's a threat to Christians, as we saw with the Yazidi population in the Middle East, it's a threat to all of us. So this kind of hatred has to be addressed immediately, and this is at really the top of my agenda. There's so much at the top of my agenda, as
you got a lot
from this interview, and I'm not even talking about the committee work, because I am ranking member, as you know, of the whole Appropriations Committee. If we take back the House, by the way, Alan, I'll be chair of the whole Appropriations
That would be something. I don't think our listeners understand just how powerful the Appropriations Committee are, Nita Lowey, is.
And it keeps me busy from 6 in the morning till about 10 at night, and then we start again the next day. But I'm honored to be in a position where I can impact the life. And let me say this again, because I think it's important. People will acknowledge that it's a do-nothing Congress. But I'm in this Congress for 25 years because I like to wake up every morning and know that I can make life better for people. So whether it's the individual casework that we do, I mentioned this World War II veteran, helping him, getting medals, or whether it's senior, helping them get payment for their health care, or whether it's working with women on a whole range of economic fairness issues. We didn't talk about that yet, pay equity and leadership in small businesses. It's very rewarding that you can get things done as a member of Congress. And I'm still working hard. Hopefully, the bipartisanship that I've experienced through most of my time in Congress can lead to some real productive legislation. Hopefully the Republicans will get their Tea Party under control, but right now I'm just working hard to electing more Democrats.
You, of course, outstanding example of a woman in politics. Are you satisfied that women have their fair share of the important posts in this country?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it, how much progress we will make. And I am hoping that I will live to see in the next election the first woman president of the United States. We've had several women secretary of state, secretary of major departments. We've increased in numbers in the House, not sufficient. Look at the Supreme Court. I'm so proud of our women who are leaders in the Supreme Court. But we still have to do more, because when women succeed, America succeeds, and our economy will grow when women are paid equally. That has been my mantra. So I'm working hard for the Paycheck Fairness Act, increase investments in education and job training. By the way, more and more girls, including one of my grandchildren, are majoring in science, technology, engineering, mathematics. STEM education produces more than half of our economic growth. And we need to fill almost 500,000 STEM-related jobs in New York alone. So I want to make sure that girls in school today can fill these jobs. And after we have the first president of the United States of America, I hope there will be many more.
How come? I guess this is what it comes down to. How come we have taken so long to get here?
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. There are many people that have guessed at the answer to that. Some will say because of the balance and work and family life, and that there are more and more women who are entering the workforce, managing to balance work and family life. But I look forward to the first president, and when you can have women serving with such distinction on the Supreme Court of the United States, it makes me proud.
So let's go for just the last 2 minutes to immigration. Do you have any hopes that we can do something along the lines that the president has recommended?
Well, it is such a tragedy, Alan, that we didn't pass comprehensive immigration reform. As you know, it passed the Senate. It made a lot of sense, and it would be a good thing for our country and our future if we can take people out of the darkness and have them work, and they work hard, pay their taxes, and work a path towards citizenship. The immigration bill, the comprehensive bill that passed the Senate, was a good one. It was a moderate one, and I'm hoping that we can get this done, because what's happening on the border can be, in my judgment, directly attributed to the lack of a comprehensive policy in this country. Because if there was a system in place, people could get out of the darkness, work hard, as I mentioned, pay their taxes, and they'd be able to, if there was a clear way, to bring their children here or relatives here, they'd be able to do so.
Nita Lowey, that concludes our interviews for the last couple of days. I've really loved having you with us, and we are very flattered and very grateful that you've taken your time to do this. We know how hard you're working, and we want to thank you.
Well, I thank you, Alan. I've known you for a very long time, and what an honor it is for me to have a discussion with you and share our ideas, and I look forward to coming back.
And you will.
Have a beautiful day.
And you will, and we will always be welcomed here. Thank you, Nita Lowey.
Thank you, Alan.